You're listening to a proud member of the Dice Tower Network, dedicated to bringing podcasters together for the greater good of gaming. It's sort of like Voltron, but with better lip syncing. Find out more at dicetowernetwork.com.
Episode of the Family Gamers Podcast. This is episode 149.
This is episode 149. I'm doing that thing where I repeat the numbers again.
Yeah.
Because I have nothing special to say. I think that we have been getting ready for this show for like 149 minutes. We have some awesome guests on the show. It is an odd numbered show. We have some great guests. I am super excited. We have two guests. We are excited to have the Kirbys on the show. Yeah. Ellen and Randy, how are you guys doing tonight?
Hello.
Awesome. We're doing awesomely.
Yes.
How are you guys
We've
doing?
We've already had most like awesomely. An entire show's worth of content.
I was just going to say, I know that you guys are doing great because we literally just talked about everything before we started recording.
Yes. Yeah, so we're done. No. But seriously, so you guys, you do We Game Together,
yes.
Which is, it's not really like its own YouTube channel. It's like part of the Dice Tower
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
We're Game Breakfast and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Talk about like what you do for the Dice Tower / as part of the Dice Tower Network.
Right. So I just looked at this and we've been doing little blurbs on Dice Tower Board Game Breakfast for a year now.
It's been a year?
Yeah, like a year and like, what? Well, maybe like less than a week or two.
That is insanity to me.
But so we do like these little 2-3 minute, like, I don't know, mini reviews, if you will, yeah. for the Dice Tower. Mm-hmm. That's how we kind of get started. Besides that, we've been doing a lot of live streamings
yeah.
on Mondays.
Yeah, we actually had some requests for that. We would do our little review videos, and then we'd have people be like, you guys should totally play a game live. I was a little nervous just because we have so much traffic in our house with 4 kids. So I didn't think it was a possibility.
Some of the first couple, we actually had Sarah and Dan Craig,
yeah,
who was doing some content for Dice Tower also.
Yeah.
They were in from California, and they lost their babysitter,
yeah,
and sure their did. Kids were over, and it was a crying
was
nightmare. But all the parents gave us lots of support.
And that was our first live stream.
That was like
correct?
The second one or something
oh boy.
Like that.
Was I was like, guys, crazy. I wouldn't even watch this. Like, totally understand. You never want to see it again.
But, yes.
But I think there's a little bit of, like, cathartic relief. Like, yeah. you're watching a live stream that's going to crap.
Right.
Like, that's okay, because we get it.
That, yeah. that moment when you're like, oh, my kids aren't the only
Oh, it was fantastic.
Right.
It was fantastic. And their kids were the ones who were screaming the whole time. So I'm just sitting there laughing, watching them, like, boil over on the other side of the table. I was like,
Yeah. It's like, it takes a village, right?
Oh,
yeah.
That's,
oh, yeah.
That's what it's all about. So, I mean, yeah, you guys. Okay, I have to say this about Randy and Ellen. I don't know what your board game budget is, but you have like every
banks.
Week. I have like serious board game envy when I look at all the stuff you guys are picking up. It's
oh
pretty
God.
Impressive, I have to admit.
You know,
yeah, why don't you
honestly,
tell them about that, Randy?
To be well, okay, so I buy about 98% of the games.
Yes.
I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, so It's we don't really spend money on much of anything
yeah,
else.
It's kind of true.
Like we don't
like,
go
we'll
out
go
and
on,
we'll
like,
take
big,
the kids out to eat.
Yeah, we'll try to do like a big trip. Little things with the kids, you know, movies, dinner, things like that. But we're not really, I don't know, we've always, since we've been married, just kind of sit around and watch TV. Like we're not that cool of people.
Right. So we
and
added
so
board games to just kind
board
of.
Board games is the thing that's kind of filling that gap of like going out and doing things,
yep.
that's what our fun thing is together.
We kind of got to the point where we didn't feel like we were interacting. Like, you know, we were together and we're kind of talking about a show
sure.
and commenting and all that kind of stuff. But board games, that's how I got Ellen into it finally. It's like, well, we should start board gaming together. You know, we actually have some interaction. Mm-hmm. We're kind of mm-hmm. playing together and you can actually speak. And, you know, it's like at a movie theater. You know, you don't
so
talk about
so
movie
it's
theater.
Really just investing in your relationship.
Exactly.
That's literally.
I mean, what's 30, 40 bucks here and there?
Board games.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really fun. It's been a fun way to bond even
yes,
more with
but
each other.
We are going through like a our first like major cull
yeah.
at this point.
It hurts, doesn't
it?
It
hurts. It's hard.
It's ridiculous.
And
I did not think
so
I'd ever hurt.
I like put like a bulk post online. I'm like, oh, here's like 30 games we're getting rid mm-hmm. of. And I sold like 5 and then I haven't tried since.
So we should exchange lists before Origins.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Origins later in the show, and maybe you and Randy, you and Anitra can swap some games.
Oh, there you go.
That's such a good idea.
That might work.
Figure it out.
I didn't think I'd have a hard time parting with games because he would be the one buying them all the time. I was like, yeah, whatever, sure, I'll play that. But when it came to getting that list together to sell, I was like, oh, wait, why is this on the list? What the heck, man? I love that one.
Oh, yeah.
I will say we've definitely learned it's so much easier mentally to trade games than to try to sell them or donate them. Because you're like, well, I'm getting rid of this one, but I'm getting this other one in return that I really want.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I'm getting rid of like these three games that I don't play much, but I'm getting this one huge
that you really
awesome
want.
One.
Yeah, that's what
people talk. People talk about Grail games. For me, it's like the Grail trade. It's like if I could do like a 2-for-1 or a 3-for-1, yeah. I'm
cool.
Like,
we should get
a
trading one.
Yeah. Well, a lot of our local cons don't have like those math trades. So I've kind of, I really want to do one, but most of them are like, you know, like I said, the local cons that we have don't have them set up. Yeah, it's kind of disappointing.
Well, you could run one. The one at PAX Unplugged last year, like some random dude did it through Abecorn.
Okay.
Which links in somehow with Board Game Geek, I don't know. But just figure it out and run
it. Yeah, I just see that it's actually supposed to be pretty easy, because I did think about
one
starting
one
of the lovers.
You definitely could.
Well, yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what? We are not doing that. How else can we stress ourselves out?
Why else get into board gaming?
Exactly.
And not
it can all be fun.
After some weeks, I'm like, oh, we got to do a video this week.
I know. It does kind of creep up on you sometimes. You're like, wait a second.
Sometimes
I wanted to relax. And
I mean, for us, like, it's almost every week. We're like, oh, podcast.
Right.
But it's like
a window into our lives here.
Is the hobby playing board games or creating content about playing board games?
That's
like,
true.
What's the real hobby here?
You know what? I always told Randy, though, like, as soon as I'm noting myself starting to get stressed about something with board gaming, I would like to back off a little bit or adapt something somewhere in it. Because this is about fun, and it really did start with us just bonding and hanging out. I don't want it to turn into this chore. You know, your blessings can turn into your burdens, and I don't want it to be that. So, I don't know.
Yep. And you're the one that keeps telling us to do more stuff.
Always. Always me.
I will say, though, it is pretty awesome to come out, and the kids are laying on their tummies on the living room floor playing Dice Throne or something.
Didn't you just post something like that?
Yeah, I just saw that.
So adorable.
Oh, all the time.
Before school.
Yeah.
They're the best pictures.
So cool. The only not cool part when I was like, hey, guys, you really only have about 15 minutes before school, so the game has to stop.
Right. Gotta stop.
I promise we will put it over here. Your little brother will not destroy it. You can come back and play it.
I can't make that promise. Right. My two-year-old's insane.
No, I get it. I totally get it. But you know, we can do those things.
Yeah.
And it's fun because, you know, we have this rule on Saturday mornings where, like, our kids can get up and have unlimited TV time before we get up, but it has to be, like, broadcast television. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't have cable.
Okay.
So it's basically like, not Netflix, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But
mostly PBS.
So when we know that they can have all the screen time they want and they get up and they decide to play a board game instead.
Yeah. That's amazing.
It's an awesome feeling.
That is absolutely amazing. I gotta say, like, our kids, I would say, like, one of our middle kids wants to play games more than all the other ones, but they're not really huge board gamers at this point, and it's a little disappointing. I definitely don't want to push them into doing that, because I feel like it could push them away.
Yeah.
But there are certainly times, like, we try to make, like Friday nights, we're going to do a family game. And a lot of times it will end in, like, one of the kids wanting to quit. It makes me feel terrible. I'm like, come on, man. But I don't want to push them too hard. So,
right.
I don't know.
Have you done, like, co-op games with them?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've done a number of
those.
What's
the Danger? The House of
Danger? Oh, yeah. We did, like, House of Danger. And, gosh, what's the other one? Oh, Forbidden Desert, Forbidden Island. And they like those. It's not even that they're quitting because...
Yeah.
It's more they're quitting that... They're like, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm good.
I want to go do something
I've had
else.
Enough. It's too long.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would love the day.
I mean, how old are your kids?
We have a 10-year-old. Oh my gosh, I have no idea.
10,
nope. I don't know.
6.
10, 8, 6, 2.5. No idea. Don't even ask me the names.
Ours are 10, 8, and just almost 5.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So similar ages. I mean, I think with our 10-year-old, what really got her, and I wouldn't say she's like into board games the way we are, but the thing that got her into it honestly was when she found Mall Madness Littlest
Mall
Pet Shop.
Oh, wow. Pet Shop Edition.
And it was just
which
like.
Which she found at our local thrift store.
Of course she did.
Right,
you can't find it anywhere else.
All like that's the theme feels, that. Right? Like the theme was so perfect sure. for her that all she wanted to do was play this horrible game. And,
hey, no. But,
did it have any electronic components?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It talks. And because it's Littlest Pet Shop, like. Each of the pets has its own little sound, so it's got like a
Shut
monkey
up, that is
and a dog.
I think
and
that's
a cat. Oh my goodness, yeah. I can't stand listening to it.
Oh yeah.
The thing that gets me is that she's now 10 and a half and she is turning the corner and saying, like, you know what? This isn't a great game.
Yeah, oh wow. Good.
I know.
Wow.
But she's I mean, as much as a 10-year-old can be nostalgic,
sure.
she's still hanging on to it because she's nostalgic for when it was like the only
wow,
game.
Wow,
she
she's growing up, girl. Wow. Yeah,
that's cool.
She's 10 going on 21. But,
yeah.
that's but, nice but more importantly, like, she loved the theme and it got her into the
sure.
mechanics of board games. And yep. then she kind of found other mechanics of board games that
yeah.
were interesting to her. And it's
very cool.
That is actually one of my, like, number one pieces of advice when I have somebody with a partner or spouse and they're like, how do I get them into gaming? I'm like, some people will totally disagree with this, but like theme to me right. matters. Like yeah. I refuse to play games. We've been married for 11 and a half years and I refuse to play games with them up until what, this past 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Because I'm so competitive. If I lose, I'm still get kind of mad. Sorry, babe.
No, you get mad like every time.
I get mad literally. It always ends with me walking away. I can't. And I'm
and
like,
it happened again last night. I am horrible while I'm losing a game.
Like,
once the game's over,
fine.
I'm fine. But
that sounds like me. It takes me about 10 minutes to cool down after a loss. It happens yeah. a lot. But, you know, yeah. I say find a theme that you love, because once I played Castles of Burgundy, which I feel like you guys probably know how much I'm a freak about that game. I love mm-hmm. Castles of Burgundy. That threw me into board gaming. It really did, because I was yeah. like, I love that I'm dealing with castles and whatever. And Burgundies. Castles and Burgundies.
So, yeah. so Randy, you know there's like a deluxe edition of that.
Yes, so yes, we've known about that. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's definitely going to be a...
Somebody is going to be
is
also
that, is
rushing
that on your shopping
on,
list?
I rarely have games that I'm like, oh, I have to get this game. I mm-hmm. have to get it. I yeah. much more of a wait until I see like some reviews and what people think about it. Mm-hmm. I go, oh, okay, yeah, let's do that. Right. I don't see a game and go, I need to have this new game. But Castles of Burgundy Deluxe is
yeah, we're
definitely...
Yeah, we're not even talking about it. It's happening.
But that's, you know, because so, we already right. played it and all that.
Yeah.
So here we go. So, Ellen, we have never played Castles of Burgundy.
Oh, I'm okay. sorry. We can't
okay.
be friends.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
I'll see you guys
okay.
later. I gotta go. Yeah,
that's fine.
I gotta roast in the oven.
So here's the deal. So we're picking up Deluxe for some friends, uh-huh. and in exchange, I mean, obviously they're paying for the game. In exchange, they're giving us their old copy.
Oh,
there you go.
That's the way for them to say thanks. So we're getting a copy.
There you go.
That's really
and
fun.
Then we'll play it.
That is
and then
awesome.
We'll play it.
You have you played other Feld games before?
Probably.
Sure.
I mean, I don't really follow designers that much, other than Joker.
I don't either.
I don't either.
He's made everything.
He said either.
Yeah, Reiner Kinesia does everything. But
we joke about Kinesia. We joke about Vlada having made, you know, the widest variety of games.
Sure.
That,
yeah. Yeah. And Friedman Freeze, whose games all are in green boxes and all start with F.
Yes. I don't think I've played just Power Grid. I think it's the only Friedman Freeze game I've ever played.
I don't think I've
yeah. So we played Fortune. We played
Fast
Fresh
Forward Fortune.
Fresh Fish.
Okay.
I think
that's part of his newer stuff, right? It's like Fast Forward series or something?
The Fast Forward stuff.
Yeah. The Fortune is the one that's part of the Fast Forward series. Fuji Flush is, I think, probably one of his other really popular ones. It's a small card game.
Hmm.
But
I know none of those.
This never quite interested me.
I mean, 1,000 games
weird.
Come out a year.
Yeah, right.
You can't know them all. You've never heard of something. Like, it's not that big of a deal.
But I am very excited for you guys to try Castles. Please let me know what you think. It's point salad deliciousness. Love it.
So let's talk about... So since we just talked about how like the Venn diagram of all of the games that we've all played don't really have a lot of overlap, there's a nerd reference for you.
Yeah.
What have you guys been playing last week?
So we got a stack of games in.
Yes, we did.
Because we always do like the miniature market type thing where I'll buy a game every few weeks or a month or so. Once I hit $100, you get it released.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get the free shipping.
Yeah, yeah. So that works out well. But what do we get? We got Cat Lady.
Cat Lady. Guys, how do you say this? Res Arcana?
Res Arcana.
I was like, hey, it's Ray Arcane.
Ray Arcana. What else? I can't remember.
Oh, you guys. Way to put me on the spot.
Gates of Loyang, but we haven't played that one yet.
Oh, yeah.
I'm totally blanking on the other. Oh, Tiny Towns, for crying out loud.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Yeah, we had the Randy and his 52 points.
Yeah, that one was not correct. Yes. Oh, yes. Gosh. Well, we were like scoring it, and then we messed up the score like three times.
It was so bad.
Well, I did, I guess, because I scored it.
But yeah, it was so bad that you did that.
We kept like, because we posted on Facebook, and we kept like whiting it out and like reposting the image with like a new score.
My picture. And then one guy's like, I mean, I'm not like great at counting, but I think you have 10 points. And I went back and like counted, like, oh my gosh. So I had to fix it again. I'm kind of at the point where now Randy will buy games till he's blue in the face. I'm kind of where I'm just wanting to revisit what we have.
Yeah.
So we've been, you know, Istanbul and, you know, castles and downforce and things like that. Like, I'm having fun kind of staying around in our collection and dabbling in what we already have.
Right. Res Arcana is probably the best game I've played.
Res Arcana is awesome. I've heard it compared to Seasons, which I don't know what that is, but.
Yeah, I haven't played that one.
Okay.
Res Arcana.
So Seasons is. Oh, who is it? Ludonaut? Who published Seasons? I don't even know. But.
I'm not going to pretend to know.
So here's my snap review of Seasons. That game is mega fiddly.
Oh.
Okay.
I first learned how to play it on Board Game Arena.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I love it on Board Game Arena, but then we got it in a trade because I was like, hey, I love this game. We played it one time, and I was like, nope, I'm never playing this again. It's just so many.
Except on Board Game Arena.
Except on Board Game Arena. I'll play it there like, yeah. forever.
Yeah. For sure.
But it's just like,
well, you're
don't forget to move this little thing over here. Like you guys have played Dice Forge, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's got some of the same feel, like, the art style's similar, but, like, Dice Forge, now take the fiddliness of Dice Forge, which really isn't that bad, and amp it up, like, times two or times three, and that's how I felt playing Seasons.
Well, a little bit of that same feel as Dice Forge, but be like, oh, and remember, you're in this season now, so this thing happens, and okay. you can only pull things from over here.
We can't even remember to switch the round, like, tracker.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like my Bane, by the way.
Yeah.
Little sidecar. Like moving a round marker, I'll never remember that ever.
No, right.
It's like, are we in round 10? No, we're in round like 20. Like, oops.
No, game ended 5 minutes ago.
Oops. Yeah, like one of the things in Seasons that's actually really important is this idea of transmuting your energy tokens into crystals.
Huh.
And every season, the different energy tokens are worth different amounts. And it's just like, stop.
It's great when a computer keeps track of it.
Yeah,
exactly. And it's just like,
it's not great.
You know what? I've been playing a ton of Istanbul online. That app is fan-stinking-tastic. I love it. And I have the same feeling of like, it keeps track of things for me. And I love that. And it reminds me of cards that I have because I don't think I'd remember to like click in the little thing and, oh yeah, I have that ability this round or whatever.
Right.
So that's nice.
So did you, so here's a serious question for you. Did you know how to play Istanbul before picking it up and digitally?
I did.
Okay. So here's the deal. So I'm in the Terraforming Mars iOS beta.
Oh, dang.
Yes.
And I've played Terraforming Mars 3/4 of one time. So like, I was in the game and I was playing it and I was like, fine, this is fine. But then when I try to play the digital version, there's not enough helpers for me to feel like I have a clue what the heck is going on.
Oh, yeah.
I just can't play it. It's for me, it's unplayable. Like, there's a tutorial, but like, I'm not retaining all that stuff.
I've
also heard that if the iOS beta is any about the same as the online, their online is like horrendous.
Isn't that what our friend plays online?
Yeah, Patrick. He plays like, I don't know. He's probably up to like 600 games.
Will not stop everyone.
I don't even think the interface is bad. Like, it looks nice and all the stuff, and you can get to everything. But it's like, I don't know. Like, there's so much going on Terraforming Mars that if you don't have basically a player aid, it's kind of right there. It's like, it's really hard to formulate any plan to the game.
So to me, that means I will never try that. I will stick to the board game and people around
Terraforming
me.
Mars enough
but
times.
When it comes to technology, guys, come on now. I can't do it.
But it's not the technology. Like, I think the game is well put together. Okay. It's just that it's so complex that I don't know what I'm doing.
Sure.
I have such a love-hate relationship.
Yeah, it's definitely hard to learn a game on digital, in my opinion.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I learned Through the Ages that way.
Oh, wow. That's a heavy game.
If you want to talk about a heavy game.
It's like, wow, take it back.
And I will never play that game in person.
See, I'm
there's no way.
I'm the opposite on that one, and I'll tell you why.
Really?
Yes, because with Through the Ages, there's so much going on. You'll want to see what other people are doing so much. I can't stand having to like click through and look at what's going on in somebody else's like area or what they're going for, what cards they might want. And I just find myself just kind of like rushing through games. And I do fine, you know, as far as scores go, but that enjoyment is like gone for me.
See, this is just proof that Randy's a next level gamer and I'm not. Because I'm just like, whatever, I'm doing my own thing. Whatever you want.
Meanwhile, I'm sitting over here and he showed me Through the Ages once and I'm like, that's great and I'm glad you enjoy it. Where are the family games?
That's a tough game. Yeah, especially like in person. Those things can go like 4 hours if everybody's slogging.
I know. Like I'm going to, so Anisha's going to Origins. I'm going to Dice Tower Con.
Okay.
So that was our agreement, sure. Right? So we did this so that the kids can stay home. We don't have to pay for them.
And No, I hear you there.
Or pay for a babysitter.
So there's so many games on my list that I'm like, oh, I can finally learn how to play Teotihuacan. Yes. You know?
Wow. Oh, that's a fantastic
Wait
game.
Wait a second. Before we say anything else, how did you just say that?
Teotihuacan?
Teotihuacan. I say Teotihuacan.
Teotihuacan.
That's so different. I don't know who's right. I'm not claiming to be right.
Well, I say it the way Derek Funkhauser says it.
I think
it.
I say it the way Tom Bassel says it, right?
No. Tom, don't say anything like Tom Bassel says it. He'll get a, you know, blind scroll and nut kind of a thing, you know?
I have no idea. Your sound is cooler, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, the expansion for Teo is coming at Origins. They're demoing it there. That's actually one of the talking points.
Oh, dang.
Oops.
Cool.
And we'll get there. So there are games like that that are kind of on the back burner that I basically can't play because they're just, like, Anitra will never play them with me. Like, Lords of Waterdeep is about as
That's
complex
about
as
Anitra
will do, okay. Which is fine. Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, as long as I have an outlet for my heavy games.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Ellen definitely doesn't prefer heavy games,
but
she'll
play. I will play, but I don't.
We've played like Kanban together and Feast for Odin.
Oh, Feast for Odin. Oh, girl, that's a bee's knees.
See, that's another game I want to play.
You
that's
not, a fantastic oh, guy.
Game. All right, let's not game shame here.
Well, your homework is Castles of Burgundy.
As soon as we get our copies.
Yeah, as soon as we get our copies.
And have an hour.
Yeah, I'm not hating on any of this stuff. Like Feudum is on my really desperately want to play list, but that's
you better
like,
do that one at Dice Tower.
4.7 on the 5-point scale. Like it's
Oh, is it that high?
It's
oh, wow.
It's really, yeah. It doesn't look like
sure.
it.
No,
let the cartoony art fool you.
Yeah, it's really.
Oh my gosh, the art totally fooled me. I was like, I could get that for my 5-year-old, so.
No, yeah, no. I mean, if you just want him to have little toys to play with, I think that's probably fine. But
so we were talking about like recent games that we liked. I want to mention this one because I know it's going to get buried in my previously played stuff when I go to Origins. But I a little while ago, I bought A Fake Artist Goes to New York.
Okay.
And we played it a bunch of times when we were out with the family at dinner. And it was fantastic because everybody from our 8-year-old up through grandma were like adding their little lines to the drawing
so cool.
And like, wait, who's the fake artist? It was you.
Have you played this game?
I know about it, but I have not actually played it.
It sounds super fun though. You can get, wow. It sounds like you get everybody in on that.
So have you played Spyfall?
Yes.
Okay. So this is like an
Spyfall
art
applied to Pictionary.
Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, it's a combination of Pictionary.
Some
and that's exactly what it is.
That's
awesome.
It's an Oink game, so it's in this tiny little box.
They're the Deep Sea Adventure people.
Yeah,
oh, sure,
like the
yeah.
Mm-hmm. We actually get rid
of there's 9 different colored markers plus a dry erase marker.
Oh,
and so there's these 9 little dry erase tiles. You can play with up to 10 people. One person is like the game master for the round, and they pick a word that everybody is going to collectively draw together.
That's awesome.
And then they hand out these tiny little whiteboards to all of the other players. One will have an X on it. That's the fake artist.
Okay.
Everybody else gets the word.
That is so
cool. That sounds interesting.
And then you pass this piece of paper around and each person draws one line.
What?
So like it can be a curvy line or a jagged line or something. It just means not lifting your pen off the paper.
Oh, Randy, go buy it.
it's $15. It's a tiny little box.
Seriously, that sounds amazing.
The biggest downfall for me is that you need a minimum of 5 people to play it.
Okay.
To make it like worth it. Yeah. But so then at the end, so what you reveal what the thing was?
Well, no, everybody looks at the drawing and then says, you know, okay, everybody basically simultaneously votes on who the fake artist
right.
is.
It's like a cash and gun, like everybody point
right.
kind of thing.
If you successfully all picked the fake artist, they can still win by successfully guessing what the drawing is.
Oh, okay. Cool. That's really cool.
So if you don't pick them, they win. If you pick them and they know what the picture is, they win. But if everybody picks the fake artist, but they can't figure out what the picture was, then everybody else wins.
Oh, I want to try
it's
it.
It's kind of like a fun little...
It's super simple.
It sounds like a blast. I'd love to try that.
I loved it because now our kids, other than the almost 5-year-old, are all at the level where like there's enough shared knowledge mm-hmm. and the ability to read that we could just pull everybody in and
everybody
play together.
Although, that's a fun time.
Somebody tried giving calzone as the clue and the writing was not great. So
oh boy.
Random stuff, I don't know.
Make it up work
over here.
It was perfect because we're at Longhorn Steakhouse. Mm-hmm. You have Longhorn Steakhouse.
Yes.
Yeah.
A chain steakhouse, whatever. Anyway.
All about it.
We're at this big round table and we're playing this game, but everybody has just this little token and they're handing around a piece of paper. So it's not like there's a central board and you have to clear a space out. It's actually a really good party restaurant.
That's how I feel that way about Just One party game. Have you guys tried that? Just One?
I haven't tried it, but I know how
it is.
Yeah.
So dang fun.
Yeah,
I
really
love
good.
It. I don't think I would turn
it's
that
definitely
one
like
out.
It's my favorite party game in a long time.
You just have little dry erase markers and the little mm-hmm. plastic pieces that you can write on and you can just erase whatever.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I can't explain games. I really literally can't. But basically you have a card and you pick one of the words on it and everybody together has to write one word down pertaining to that word. And then they can reveal.
And everybody should be different.
Yeah, everyone should be different. And if somebody writes the same thing as another person, those two people or however many people have to erase their word and they don't get to help like pitch in to give clues or anything.
Right. So then the person guessing, they basically open their eyes. And they look at whatever clues are left over.
Yeah, and then try to guess the word.
And
so one person's got their eyes closed, and everybody
correct.
They all show their words. Totally
right.
And they're like, "Oh, we match. We got to erase them."
Exactly. And okay, cool. And then honestly, probably I don't know, 10% of the time you end up with like one or two words
because everyone's
and you're like, "I don't know what that is."
Yeah.
It's fun.
Cool. Yeah, it's really good. If people try to get like super creative about mm-hmm. how they write the clue, and then you're like, "I don't know what that means. That doesn't pertain to anything. That's too far."
Yep.
Yeah, it's fun.
So let's see. What else have we been playing? So I mentioned the game that I was bad about losing last night, but I was fine.
Oh, boy.
You were.
Oh, boy.
Anyway, just saying. Just saying.
We played Gunky Mono from Renegade.
Oh.
Have you played
I actually almost picked that up because it was on I saw it on sale for a pretty good deal.
What's it called?
Gunky Mono?
No, I have not.
Or Gunky Mono.
Gunky Mono. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's a Japanese style game where it's a, I don't know, area control kind of.
It's what it really is an abstract area control.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's got all this Japanese art on it.
Okay.
So it fooled me at first. It's this big box that's got Japanese art on it. I'm like, this is going to be some kind of war game.
Like some heavy Euro or something.
Yeah.
Kind of,
yeah. And
it's totally
it's
not.
It's not.
Interesting.
It's totally not. Basically, half the board is dominoes, except with colors. So you're kind of trying to make large groups of these five different colors. The other half of the board is this honor track. And when you put a tile down, which is one half one color, one half the other color, you decide whether you're scoring honor based on the number of pagodas in the picture, or you're scoring victory points based on the size of the formation, which is the number of squares of that
color. The colored area that you've added.
And you can do victory points for both sides, or you can do honor points for both sides, or whatever. And then when you hit certain thresholds, you can play these pagodas onto the formation side and basically like, okay, now this group of, you know, 10 soldiers or whatever, now nobody else can score them.
This is my
Okay. So that's kind of the area control aspect you're talking about.
Yeah, kind of. It's a little weird to explain quickly.
Yeah.
But it's a very simple game. It really, like, seeing it played, you'll get it in five. Like, Rodney would be like, this is how you play and I'm done.
Sure.
You know. But, you know, it's fun, and I think even young kids, like, you really don't need to be able to read at all. There's no words in the game.
No, we haven't tried it with our kids yet, but I think they'd be fine to pick it up.
Yeah, there's certainly nothing in it that's complex.
Randy, are you sitting there thinking about buying this right now?
I'm
not. I can
not.
Sense it. No?
No? Do you want me to?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe. Maybe, I don't
so
know.
So the 1%.
Basically, if this is our buying. Like I mentioned earlier that I buy about 98% of our games. The other 2% come from Ellen going, oh, that looks interesting. I'm like, I'll get that.
Literally. If I even say, oh, look how pretty that is. Purchased. Ding dong.
Yeah. Well, now you have a fake artist goes to New York and you have Gun Kimono.
Yeah, Cat Lady, we've played, what, 2 or 3 times mm-hmm. now? That is like a nice, quick, super fast villain.
I have seen it, but I have not played it. I know it's so AEG. Cute. Is it a trick-taking game?
No, it's like a... It's kind of a tableau building, I guess. You and set collection and things. Set collection. But you have like a grid of cards, and you have to... It's a 3x3 grid. You either have to pick up any single row or any single column. And whichever column or row that you pick, the next person, when they get a fresh set of cards, can't pick those. Mm. And so when you're grabbing them, once you acquire a cat, you put it out in front of you. And each cat requires a certain amount of food to feed it. And to get food, there's cards that have food that you grab also. And so if you don't feed your cats, you get like -2 points. If you basically overfeed and you have the most food than anybody, you actually get -points for that. And then there's some set collection with the different toys, and there's like catnip, which is another way of like multiplying points.
And get like costumes for your cats.
Right. So there's like a majority card store.
Did you notice, by the way, all the cats in the costume pictures, their faces look like miserable?
Yeah, they're all miserable because they have these different cats. Okay. It's like superhero costumes. So it's super smooth. It utilizes like 4 or 5 fairly basic mechanics, but it puts it all in one game. Makes it a really easy, quick package.
I played it at 2 and 3 and loved it with both. It's awesome.
Very good. It's actually, I think 2 and 3 is probably his best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, speaking of AEG, we talked about Tiny Towns already.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, Cat Ladies, AEG. I played War Chest for the first time today.
Okay.
That's a cool game. I haven't played that. It's kind of this abstract, I guess it's area control. It's like you have to take control of all these control points that are on the board.
But War Chest also has bag building in it, right?
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, it's so at the beginning of the game, you get 4 different types of tiles. Each one has their own abilities. Mm-hmm. And you put 2 of each in this bag. And over the course of the game, you can play some of your tiles face down to basically like deck build into this blind bag. Kind of like Quacks.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Yeah,
that kind of idea. Right. But then, so you're blind pulling out of this bag in order to play tiles. Awesome. They're basically like really nice poker chips. Onto this board to move them around to defeat your opponent and take control of these like 8 or 10 control points, and whoever controls all the control points at the end wins the game. It's really cool. I need to play it more, I think. I'm a little worried that the end game might just become this like feudal war of attrition.
Okay.
Feudal with a T, not an EUD.
Sure.
but we'll see. That was fun.
So you also say things like, I think I need to play it again. I've heard so many people like, you should know immediately if you like a game or not, like right off the bat.
No,
I'm not
crazy.
That way.
It's not garbage. That's crazy. No, but what if you get like unlucky,
so
like me playing Gun Kimono last night?
Right. So it makes me feel good to hear that, because I've always been like, what are you talking about? I need to play a few times. I mean, sometimes you just know that I just like
it. It depends
like
on the
it,
game.
But sure.
Like
sure.
Like Tiny Town's first time, it was just like, this is a good game. I like this game.
Mm-hmm.
I would not shut up about that game for 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
You were one
and
of those.
And we finally got it, and Anitra's just like, all right, it's good. Like, oh, I know.
I came into it already prejudiced. I'm like, he is so over the moon about this game. It can't possibly be that good. And I was like, it's pretty good.
Dang. I like it a lot.
Dang, that's
I like any kind of those puzzles.
We actually bought it because I wanted him to. We went to that little cafe and played it. And I was like, yeah, I like this. I'm like, get the game. Like, buy it.
Yeah.
So he got it. And then then we've played it twice at home since then. My score, you guys, I'm still mourning for my score.
Yeah, she almost threw it in the trash.
I was so upset. I don't know why I'm so terrible at like puzzly type things. So I don't know. It's one of those games where I started going, I really like this. And the more I play it, I don't not like it. I don't feel as passionate about it anymore.
I mean, first of all, like, I get, well, a lot of the people in, like, the groups that we mm-hmm. all frequent are heavy Euro. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not what this game is.
No,
for sure.
And so, so if that's what you like, then you're not going to.
And I'll play anything. You know? I'll play any dang game.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I do like
I feel
that
the same
it's
way.
Quick. I love how quick that game goes.
I'll tell you,
so fast.
You know, I liked the game a lot, and I had a lot of fun playing the game, mm-hmm. and I probably still would have bought it anyway. But the thing that takes that game and puts it from this is a good game to this is a game that I must have in my collection mm-hmm. is that our entire family can play this game, including
sure.
our 4-year-old.
Yeah.
And he's not going to ruin the game for other people.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, true. Yeah.
And he likes the idea of building things. So he can look at the cottage and be like, okay, red and yellow and blue in this orientation, I get to build a building, and that's awesome.
That's so cute.
And, yeah. And he's so excited about the idea of just building yeah. stuff that he doesn't really care what his score is at the end. And so the other four of us can actually play a competitive
yeah.
game
so cool.
of Tiny Towns.
That's perfect, yeah.
And he's totally involved in playing the game, but he's not ruining it for anybody else.
I am so excited you know? Kids can do find... that. When we yes. find a game where him, we call him our agent of chaos, where he can play and enjoy himself, but him being an agent of chaos isn't going to ruin it for everybody.
Sure.
Right.
And Tiny Towns is one that works really
well. I can
well
absolutely
that.
See
like,
that, yeah.
It's like, why did you pick brown again? He's like, I don't know, I like brown. Okay.
I can't argue that.
Okay. Right. It is a good color. All right, guy.
Right. Worst case, you can do the... the town manager variant or whatever it is.
Town sure. hall. Town hall,
town
I think, yeah.
Town, whatever it is, where it kind of takes that choice away mm-hmm. from the player, but that's okay.
I actually did not places. Prefer that variant. I liked when
I actually
you...
I actually prefer it because I can kind of base by probability what's going to come up next.
That is such
I
a good way
to see that. Sure.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. But from a family game perspective, sure. The game was just a home run for me. So
that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's quite fun.
You love it. You're a puzzly guy.
I like puzzles,
but not actually.
I like puzzles, but I'm terrible. Tiny Towns.
Sure, exactly. I know. Tiny Towns.
All right, you guys. You guys want to talk some origins?
Yes.
I do.
I mean, yes. That's.
I'll talk about how sad I am about not going.
Ellen, this is your chance to say you should buy that. You should buy that.
I know.
Yeah, that's right.
Nice.
Yes, we kind of have a list of cons that we'd love to go to. And this mm-hmm. was on the list, and it kind of got pushed to the wayside. Just, you know, finances, you got kids. There's so many things that go into
yep.
being able to go to certain cons, where they're at, location, all that. So it was one that we're like, you know what? No, we're not going to do this one.
Well, that was in favor of going to Gen Con.
Sure. Yes.
It was exactly. kind of between those two.
Well, then Brandy actually got invited by a buddy of his who's going. And he also got all excited. He's like, wait, they're inviting me to go. I think I can go then. Because it happens where I can, you know, obviously stay home with the kids. And he can go. And I will tell you, I cried for 2 days. I was so sad and like offended almost that he would want to go to a con without me. And it was really
I didn't
want to
go.
Me.
It's not like I was going, yes,
not, yeah,
perfect.
Without. I know.
My
but
plan.
I mean, I don't know. I am so like stuck at Randy's hip. And so to not travel with him was very weird for me. I talked to a bunch yeah. of friends who were like, you need to like relax. Like, it's going to be
do
good.
Do some more yoga, Ellen. You'll
do
be
some
fine.
More yoga. You will be fine. So I've chilled and I'm totally game for the idea. No pun intended. Yeah. I think you'll have a blast. I'm very excited for you. And we are both going to be going to Gen Con at least together. So I have
okay.
that.
Cool, cool. That's yeah, cool. We haven't done Gen Con yet. Maybe this will make you feel better, Ellen. Okay. So here's the deal with Origins. So Anitra is flying out Wednesday morning okay. to Origins. Okay. Her flight leaves at like 6 a.m, maybe? I don't know. Does that sound
yeah,
right?
About that.
Yeah. Which means that we're leaving our house at 3, mm-hmm. so I can drive her into Boston.
Lovely.
She gets on the plane. I come home.
He's the best husband.
Oh,
I come home, and then I have to drive the kids to school.
Okay.
The older two
sure.
have to go to school. And then I come home, and then I have to start my work day. And then at noon, I have to go pick the kids up because they have a half day, and it's the last day of school.
Oh. I was going to say, yeah, your school, that's a late school year for us.
Yeah.
In our area, like, everybody's yeah. out of school by yeah, now.
I know.
It's actually
know.
Relatively early for this area. We didn't have a lot of snow days this
year. Okay. Oh.
So she's in Ohio for Thursday and Friday while the kids are beginning their summer vacation
oh, yeah.
and they're total spazzes.
And I'm not coming back till midday Monday.
Right. She's not
oh,
coming
okay.
back until midday Monday, which means that I'm at home alone with the children for Father's Day.
Oh, boy.
And then
my gosh.
I have to take off the middle of my work day on Monday again to go get her. So pretty much she epically planned this one. And
I mean,
so I'm
yeah.
gonna...
to be fair, I'm a little nervous about traveling without him as well.
Yeah.
Like Origins is a big con and I'm a little nervous about going, although I'm meeting up with...
the One Board family people.
Yeah. The Whites and the Gutowskis. Okay. But... then when I realized that the end of school was a little bit in flux and that it was going to get bumped this way, I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, but also kind of not sorry.
Right.
So maybe that'll make you feel better.
I do feel a lot better.
Yeah, our kids have been out of school for 2.5 weeks or something like that.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, Anitra, if you are nervous about traveling by yourself, because I would be horrified. I just, for me personally, I don't, my sister's like, you're crazy. It's whatever. I get so scared not having Randy like guiding me through like checkpoints and get the bags. I'm like, I can't handle it. Do you get that way or no?
I haven't flown alone since we got married.
Okay.
So
we'll find out.
I've gone places alone, but it's always been road trips.
Okay.
So
okay. See, I don't even like do that. We'll gosh, I'm going to something this summer by myself for like 2 days. And I'm like, wait a second. Where are you going to be though? It's, I don't know. I know.
Well, I'm attached. I'm going to
be in my bed being bored.
But the trips alone I've taken it's worked out to be like one weekend every other year.
Sure.
Like it's not that much.
Okay. Okay. So. Interesting.
So that's the trek of getting to and from Origins.
Yeah, I'm flying out Wednesday night, so I'm not going to pull in until almost midnight on Wednesday.
Ooh.
And then So I'll be there all day Thursday, all day Friday, all day Saturday, and then leave it at like 7 a.m. Sunday. And with the time change, we'll end up being back home at like 9:30
a.m. And I think you were debating staying Sunday, but I was like, it's Father's Day.
I wasn't going to miss Father's Day.
Yeah. Because I wouldn't let him.
Well, he doesn't have to miss Father.
Yeah, there you go.
I sure won't.
So count your blessings, man.
Count your blessings. Oh, man.
All right. So I know Anitra has been putting together a hype list for what she wants to go
I'm
check
trying.
Out at Origins.
This is actually the part I'm the most nervous about, because normally if we go to a convention together, he just kind of like floods me with this giant list.
Sure.
And then he's like, you go look at this stuff and I'll go look at this stuff. And I'm like, okay, sure.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the list. This is a big list. I don't know how she's going to do this alone.
This is my big list and it will almost certainly get cut down a bit.
Yeah.
Two of the things I'm most interested for. I'm going to give you one like big publisher game and one small one.
Okay.
Because there's all kinds of people at Origins. I am super excited for the new Roland Rights coming out from Renegade.
Okay.
So they're not like super new anymore. Hex Roller, I think, has been out for a couple of months. Lantern's Dice is new. Mm. But both of those, I really want to see. I really want to try.
I love Roland Rights.
Yes.
They're so cool, man. They're cool.
We've acquired quite a number of them. We found that lately we've been doing some of our live playthroughs on Mondays. And we're doing like Roland Rights that like everybody can kind of play together.
Yeah.
And those
people
have kind of gone over well.
It's really, really fun. That's cool.
Yeah. And then the small publisher one that I'm one of the ones I'm really interested for is The Little Monster That Came for Lunch and Stayed for Tea.
Okay. Okay.
The game is a million miles long.
Yeah, that's like that's number 10 on Board Game Geek, I think, right?
No.
I've never heard of that.
It seems to have this interesting mechanic of almost a conveyor belt of you're bringing food past this little monster and you're trying to pick the right stuff that it's going to want.
That's cool.
That's adorable.
With some other mechanics in there.
I love that that's
and
what you're looking forward
it's
to.
Adorable art.
I love it.
We've done conventions enough that deliberately focusing our attention on stuff that at least our kids could conceptually play.
Absolutely.
Is actually, it's a huge release for us because it's like, 80% of the convention I can just automatically not care about.
There you go.
And sometimes, like, it kind of stinks. Like, I've never played Gloomhaven. I will probably never play Tainted Grail. Hate is, I have no interest in it whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Games like Rising Sun, like, I played Rising Sun because a friend of mine brought it over. I played Scythe because a friend of mine brought it over. But these aren't games that are at all in our wheelhouse right now because we're looking at board gaming in a family game context. And occasionally stuff will pop up on our radar and I'll be like, man, that game is so good, I'm going to buy it. Like Zolkin. Mm-hmm. But usually, it's a good game. It's if you played it's the same guy made Zolkin.
Yeah, okay, I do hear those two compared, those two games.
Yeah. But yeah, so whatever that game is, Little Monster That Came for Lunch and Stayed for Tea, was done by Strawberry Studio, who also did What's Up and Strawberry Ninja, which are games that I just kind
of
stumbled across on Kickstarter
a
that we bought
a couple years ago now. Yeah,
and they were really, really cute. And actually, the Kickstarter was for Strawberry Ninja, but we paid extra to get What's Up too. And Strawberry Ninja we ended up trading away, but we still have What's Up.
What's Up we really liked.
Yeah, yeah. So I like the stuff that studio puts together. And so some of the stuff we looked at together, and that was one of the ones where I think we looked at it and Nature showed it to me. I was like, yeah, sure, sounds good. I like the studio.
That's awesome.
Very cool.
The name is amazing too. Say that three times fast.
It's like that Hearts and Thoughts song from Pearl Jam.
I start thinking about, since most of the reviews we do are written on our website, and I'm thinking about like the amount of headline space that takes up. Like, we're not fitting anything else up there.
That's definitely some kind of name rubber.
That's heavy. Yes, so probably the game I want to see the most is actually the Teotihuacan, the expansion.
You mean
Teotihuacan? Which is only being demoed. But I almost feel like I shouldn't waste any time over there because I know I'm going to buy it. So maybe it's not even worth looking at. Maybe it's just I'll spend my resources somewhere else.
Is this like a new
else.
Thing you're thinking of? Like, you're saying this fresh right now because you have not said this to me. I thought you were like super excited to go play that.
I am.
Expansion. But now you're saying you might not?
Well, if I can demo it, I definitely will.
Okay.
Just because I want to play it.
Sure.
This is Origins, the resource management game. So much time.
Exactly. But
you don't want to see it to make a decision. You already know what the decision.
Right.
Sure, so if you need to see other things to make decisions, you'd rather do those things.
Exactly.
But you'd like to play the
game. I would, yes. I'm torn. I'm very torn. But I'm going to be there for
I was just going to say, baby, you got 10. Like
3 days?
Yeah.
So 3 full days without any kids whatsoever.
Oh my gosh.
So I'm pretty sure I could pencil it in.
Heck is that?
You gotta like fit a massage in there.
I know, right? Spot it.
As long as I can play a game while getting one.
Perfect.
That's a new business idea. Hold on.
There you go. Well, you know, they have the little donut holes, you know, so I can kind of just.
Right.
That's probably the one I'm most interested in, I would say.
Yeah, I heard they're demoing the Quacks expansion, but of course you guys like imported it or something.
I mean, just from like Amazon UK.
Yeah, because after we posted that, we had people being like, wait, I didn't know that was like available in the US.
Right, it only costs like, I don't know, it was like $12 shipping or something like that. So, and actually you could have gotten like the 3 week shipping for like $8 or something. But that's fun.
That is a fun game.
That's a great
expansion.
And my
8-year-old loves that game. Loves that game.
Every time he pulled out a chip, he's like, oh, yes.
He was so into it. Every single part, he would just go into this long thing about it and what he's going to be able to do. And like, it was actually amazing.
Yeah, it was really
I
cool.
love sitting
really
and watching
cool
him
to
play
watch.
That game.
Cool.
It's adorable.
Unlocking the Kree. We had some friends invite us over, but an interested home, to play this. And I liked it. This is Base Quacks. I liked it so much. It was like a Wednesday night. That I came home and I told her, I was like,
you gotta play this game.
This game is awesome.
We're going back to their house this week sometime.
Yeah, and I texted her, was like, I don't usually invite myself over people's houses, but we're coming over on Friday.
That's amazing. Wow.
I think it's fantastic.
It's a great game. I didn't know. I think it's the first bag building game that I've played, right?
I think so, yeah.
I think it's the first one. It is. I'm gonna just go ahead and say it is.
It is, officially.
I was actually super mad at myself because at PAX Unplugged last year, they had huge stacks of it in the North Star Games booth, and I was on a panel with Bruce Vogue, who's the like director of marketing or whatever for North Star, and we were talking afterwards about some stuff, and because I played Evolution in the beginning, I didn't really like it, and you know, we were having this like friendly debate about whether or not the game was worth playing versus regular Evolution and stuff, and he's like, I tell you what, come to the booth tomorrow, I'm going to give you a bunch of games to review. So I went to the booth, and they still had stacks of Quacks.
Stacks of quacks. That's fun.
Anyway, so he gave me like 4 games to review, and I was like, oh, this is awesome. And I was like, thank you so much. You know, you're amazing, blah, blah, blah. And then I left. And now I'm like, crap, I should have been like that one too.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, for
Can
sure.
Can I have that one, please?
Oh, man, you missed it.
Then it was out of print for quite some time, too.
Yeah, well, they will have it available for sale at Origins.
Oh, there you go.
Hopefully we'll get our copy.
Is there actually a release date for Herb Witches US yet?
So they're going to have it for demo at Origin.
Okay.
It'll be released at Gen Con.
Okay, it is released at Gen Con. Okay.
Or that's the plan anyway.
Well, I kept looking at it over and over again, and I'm like, I don't even have a date yet. A date yet. That's why I finally just, you know, they had like 4 copies left on Amazon CO. And,
you don't have Quacks right now, correct?
Nope.
Okay, so if and when you get it, are you going to buy the little plastic pieces that you can push the tokens down into?
No.
You're not going to. Okay.
I don't think so. It seems like really dumb to me. Like, I'm not really super big on blinging out games and stuff. I'm like, a game is designed to be played. Like, just play the game.
If I love a game enough, he bought a 3D printer, so I'm like, you better make it worth it. So Googling up a lot of games because of that.
So we, plus my mom, plus my sister's boyfriend, plus my brother all got together and bought my sister, for Christmas last year, the same printer you have, the Prusa M.
Yeah.
And like she opened the box and literally started crying.
Oh, it was so great.
That's
well, it's
amazing.
Not a cheap printer.
No, it's not.
But so she, I've made her print me inserts. I offered to buy her some, you know,
filament,
plastic stuff, filament, right? But she said no. The only time, like, I really think it's worth it to do stuff like that, personal preference, is if you can like make a significant difference. Like, I have the insert for Lords of Waterdeep because it means I don't have to keep the expansion box around. I have the insert for Role Player because it means I don't have to keep the expansion box around.
So you're all about practicality.
Yeah, I'm an engineer, man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I will tell you, when you're bag building with Quacks and you're reaching in there and those little cardboard pieces all sticking together and you can't get them separated, it's so frustrating. So when he
printed them out, stuck in the corner a little bit.
Yeah, they all kind of, you're trying to get one out. Then he made the plastic pieces and put them down in there. And when you reach into that bag, you're getting one piece. It feels so good to reach in there and get
the
that.
The little clanking noises are satisfying.
It's so satisfying.
Too.
Yeah. It's great.
But it's one of those things. I don't think it's necessary by any means. But, you know, I have the printer. I have, like, I don't know, 35 or 40 rolls of different color filaments.
He's like
I'm printing stuff.
And I helped you. You would call me during the day. And
my sister just bought the, like, the multi-filament adapter thing.
Oh, okay. So the MMU,
Oh, man. Fancy.
Yeah, I've been kind of debating whether I want to get it or not. It's pretty affordable, but I've heard some people have some issues with it, and you have to, like, if you're doing the different filaments, you want to kind of make sure that you have, like, the same brands at least so that the tolerances on each filament are pretty close.
Yeah.
Hmm. I don't know.
I haven't tried
it yet.
She
doesn't have kids, so she has infinite time as far as I'm concerned.
my question was, does she have kids?
Not yet.
Yeah, I'd be interested in hearing how it works.
Yeah, I definitely fight the 3D printer urge because I just don't have the kind of time.
It's time consuming, sir.
I need to not do that.
But unless you spend, you know, like the Prusa is pretty untime consuming because it's very much turn it on and you're off.
We had another printer that was giving you so much angst.
Yeah,
I was actually to the point where I'm like, take out a loan. I don't care how much money you spend. Get a new printer because hearing him grieve about it over and over, I'm like, it's just
which
not
I was
even
absolutely
worth
shocked
it.
About.
Yeah,
I'm like, you know, listen, I'm getting sick of
saying. You got me to that point, baby.
I'm like, I print something and it's like 3 weeks later I can print something else because like something else went wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
And then you get sick of putzing with it.
I can't do that. I'm too overcommitted.
That's the answer.
This is my wisdom. Like, this is all the wisdom. This is all of my wisdom for 2019 is I should not buy a 3D printer.
There you go.
Like, there it is.
There you go. Okay. Own it.
All right. Let's talk about two more games, maybe.
Sure.
That you're excited for. Maybe expansions or something like that, or something that's related to something else.
All right. I'm super excited for The Grim Masquerade.
Okay. I haven't heard that one.
Tell me about it, because I don't know anything about that.
Okay, well, it's got the same beautiful, beautiful art as The Grim Forest.
Okay.
But this one is a deduction game.
Oh.
It's a hidden identity deduction
game? It's an identity deduction game. So you can play it as a social deduction, like, am I this person or am I not? Or you can just straight up be like, you know, I'm going to play this card so I can find out this thing.
Huh.
I'm going to play this card so I can find out this thing. I'm excited for it, and the fact that it's not a pure social deduction game helps me to stay excited for it, because he hates those, and our kids are not, like, social deduction.
No.
But logical deduction, you can teach.
Sure.
You can teach, like, if you have this information, then you can figure out this information.
That's cool. Okay. Yeah. Kids and
so I'm excited to see it and get a better feel for where in that spectrum, because they're saying that it fits somewhere in the middle.
Okay.
So I'm excited to see where in that spectrum it really sits.
Oh, very cool.
I mean, that's a game that's being done by Skybound, and the art's being done by Mr. Cuddington, who did the art for The Grim Forest, and I'm in favor of any game that looks ridiculously gorgeous on the shelf, so that's fine with me.
Right.
Yeah.
Ellen is very art-centric.
Oh my gosh.
I don't care.
Randy does not care. For me, like, I want to buy a shirt that says theme matters. Like, I know people hate that, but to me, theme is important. And I want a game to look pretty. Like, this is a hobby. Like, it doesn't have to be pretty, but when it is, it just makes playing the game so much more fun for me. I love that.
That's how I feel.
Tiny little components and beautiful colors. I mean,
I appreciate a good theme, and I will get themes based off of that.
Yeah, but it is not your priority.
But if it doesn't play well, I don't care.
I'm with you, Randy. I appreciate good theme and good art. But honestly, the games I get the most excited about most of the time are abstract. So like Hex Roller, where I'm like, there's no theme here. It's hexes and you do the thing and it's a puzzle.
I need to feel emotionally attached to my games, right?
I mean, no, I agree with the idea, though, that, I mean, if a game is hot garbage, even if it's got a great theme, like, I'm not, I'm probably not going to play it that much. I'll give you an example. This is actually a game where I think the mechanics are good. The Fallout game, Fallout the video game,
yeah.
I made the board game. Like, the mechanics are great. And it's really cool, but it's just like, it's just super heavy and there's like a lot going on, and there's a lot going on to facilitate the thematic involvement of the Fallout universe. And it's like, you know, you probably didn't need all those things.
Yeah.
Like, you could have taken some of them out and it would have streamlined the game a lot more. It might have felt a little bit less Fallout-y, but I think they made the mechanics too complex in order to fit the theme.
They were trying to be too faithful.
Yeah, they were trying to be a little bit too faithful to the theme. And I actually thought that it kind of detracted from the gameplay a little bit. Like, it was fine and we had fun and whatever, but I just think I'm going to have a really hard time getting that game to the table just because there's so much going on. And it's like, you know what? I just assume play the video game.
Yeah.
Like, it was fine.
Sure.
I hear you.
Yeah.
Another game I'm looking at here is Artemis Project. Have you guys seen that one?
Oh yeah. We're big, big Grand Gamers Guild fans.
It looks interesting. It's got like some auction and bidding, and then there's like some worker placement aspects to it in that set collection.
There's some like weird dice bumping stuff going on in that game.
That one I'm pretty excited to see. It seems like one of the hotter ones that are being talked about. It's getting a lot of buzz from Fortune.
It's up to number one in the hotness.
Apparently, I am living under a rock.
And it's supposed to be for sale too.
It was on Kickstarter several months ago now.
It's out. You can buy it.
Right.
Mark Spector was actually, we actually took him out to dinner a couple of months ago because he was kind of in town for TotalCon, I think it's a game playing convention. It's a smaller con, but it's been around for almost 40 years.
Oh, wow.
So
it's big for a regional convention.
It is big for a regional convention. And it's like, you know, you go there and it's like the crust, like the really crusty old game. Like old war game.
Yeah, I love
like that. You know, the giant table full of terrain.
Right.
And they're doing this like 12-hour long game.
Right.
Where they measure out distances because there's no hexes.
You are not like, finding it at that table. Like,
the pre-Warhammer Warhammer.
Oh, yeah.
Is what this is. I mean, it's...
Now, are these welcoming war gamers or are these... get off my lawn, war gamers.
It's a total mix. No, seriously, there are absolutely get off my lawn war gamers there.
But there are also ones who are like, not this past year, but the year before, I went with our son who would have been, just turned 7 at the time. And the table presence for this thing is awesome, obviously, because it's this giant piece of terrain.
It's literally 15 feet long.
Oh, good grief. That's cool, though.
And he's coming up looking at it, and this guy who had been involved in building the whole thing was like, do you want to see what we're doing? Do you want to see how to play? To, you know, 7-year-old's
not
no
so
kid.
That's so sweet. That could have gone either way.
That's really cool. And they need that, because otherwise the wargaming hobby is going to die otherwise.
Yeah, really. Well, we have a very good friend of ours who is older. Like, he's old enough to be our dad, basically. Yeah. I call him my adopted dad because my dad died a long time ago. Blah,
sure,
blah,
sure.
Blah. He's a hardcore board gamer. He's a GMT, war gamer. Yeah.
GMT and diplomacy. Lots of diplomacy.
Every year he goes to the Diplomacy World Championships.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, so he's hardcore.
I'd like to try like a heavy war game, but, you know, they've gotten a little bit, obviously not everybody's like that, but war gamers have gotten a little bit of a bad rap out there. And I think it's one of those that's mostly true, I feel. I don't know.
You're probably not wrong. Like, I mean, I like to embrace, like, the old crusty baseball fan stereotype. Like, the miserable baseball guy. Like, this team sucks. <You know? laughs> That's me. So I don't do it with the war games. But I can appreciate the stereotype a little bit, I think.
Oh, that's funny.
So Artemis Project...
it's not that kind of game.
It's not. It is really cool. I was watching Mark demo it at TotalCon. I would like to play that game too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm flying down there, and I'm probably just bringing a carry-on. So my my game space is going to be a little small. But if I find a whole bunch of stuff I like, I might have to buy a suitcase and then, you know, check it.
I am being totally realistic here. I'm planning on just coming down with a carry-on. Before I leave and come back home, I will go to a UPS store or something and ship a box of games back.
Yeah.
Well, because if you think about it, like, what is that going to cost you? $25? Guess what?
Checking a
bag is $25.
That's true.
It's smart.
I've also told myself that, you know, we could probably use another piece of luggage, so it wouldn't be the worst thing.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
Don't do it, man.
It's funny.
Don't do it.
Well, but plus, if you only carry on, then you don't have to go to, like, you don't have to check a bag.
Right.
You don't have to, like, go back and do the baggage pickup thing. You're just, like, in and out. You're done.
Right. And, you know, we are going to Gen Con, like, what is that, a month and a half later, and we are driving to that.
Yeah.
So, you know, the car's got a lot of board game space.
Depends on how many children you're also fitting.
Oh, there's no children.
No children.
Then
we were able to get somebody to watch them for a few days. So.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, I'm so excited for that.
Yes.
I'm very excited.
But we're not talking about that. We're talking about Oregon.
Don't forget to go to the board game convention.
I know.
All right. Well, thank you guys for coming on and talking about Origins. It's been an absolute blast. It's been a ton of fun.
So fun. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So where can people go to find out about you guys online? Where can they reach out to you on Twitter? Where can they look at Ellen's selfies on Facebook?
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, whatever.
So we do have a YouTube channel. We game together on YouTube. And we do, like, all of our live plays through that. We also do them on Twitch, so we can do, like, a simulcast. Mm-hmm. So we play them on Twitch and YouTube at the same time. So whichever is your preferred platform. We actually just started simulcasting to Facebook, also on Ellen's personal page. But that's probably the best place to see our content is on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, we're really active on the Dice Tower Facebook group. So if you want to actually chat with us, that's probably one of the better places. Instagram. Yeah, we are on Instagram. Ellen posts a lot.
And honestly, I'm like, I wonder if people are just so annoyed with seeing just selfies and games. Like, what else can we do that's more interesting? But it's what we do. It's our life.
Is that at We Game Together?
Yes.
Also? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Awesome.
Cool. Where can you find us, Andrew?
Well,
you're right in front of me.
Social media thing. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at FamilyGamersAA is the way to get a hold of us. You can also hit up our Facebook community. You can go to thefamilygamers.com/community. It'll bring you right into the Facebook community. We have people joining almost every day, I'd say.
Almost.
And, a lot of people sharing what they're doing with their kids and what kind of games they're playing, asking questions, stuff like that. So it's a lot of fun.
Love it.
With their kids, with their parents, with their aunts and uncles.
Yeah, whatever.
With their families. Their families.
Yeah.
Love it.
You can also email us.
Andrew@thefamilygamers.com.
Anitra@thefamilygamers.com. Please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, tell your friends about the podcast, and leave us a review at Apple Podcast or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast content.
Mm-hmm. You can also help us out by checking out our pod pledge. You can go to thefamilygamers.com/pod pledge. You can see a video of all those crazy kids we were talking about.
Being crazy.
Find out how you can get all sorts of cool perks like us sending you birthday cards and Christmas cards and stuff like that. It's a lot of fun, and you can become part of the family.
I think that's going to be it for us this week.
All right, awesome. Well, next week you're going to be at Origins, but for everybody else,
play games with your kids.